The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. I don't know if any of you have ever been to the Holy Land. To go to the Western Wall and to see the temple, at least the base of the temple, what had been built there, you'll recognize right away that the stones are massive. This was Herod's greatest building project, and he put his own stamp on all of those stones. There's a border of polished, smooth stone on every one of those rough stones. And whenever you see one of those stones, you know it was from that period of time when King Herod was rebuilding the temple. Some of them are 6 feet high and 8 feet wide. They're enormous. You would know all of a sudden that it is unlikely that even one of these could be wrestled into place in 3 days, let alone destroyed, not one stone left on another. But the people listening to Jesus only heard what they wanted to hear. They chose to take Jesus' words literally and decided it was nonsense. And they didn't look any deeper. In the second reading, St. Paul says to the people of Corinth, "Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. Both of these, sign and wisdom, can be open to subjective interpretation. In fact, faced with the relativism and egoism of today, such things may never be decided upon. Look and just see how many churches there are." It is a kind of tyranny that has been described the tyranny of self. But Paul says, "Look and see Jesus crucified. Here is reality. Some might see him as a stumbling block, others as foolishness. But this, nonetheless, is the reality. He stands before you. You choose whether or not to receive what is true power and true wisdom in human flesh. This is why, if you think about it, the only way we could have ever been won over, even if only some listeners, is if this mystery became flesh and blood before us." Those who are listening to Jesus in the temple construction zone chose to receive Jesus' meaning or dismiss him as a simpleton. How many times have you had that feeling? If people would just bother to get to know me, they wouldn't jump to such judgmental conclusions. So here we come to the reality of today. We behold each other, races behold each other, nations behold each other already through the filter of whom we have already decided we are and who they are. It could be the farthest thing from the truth, and as history shows, it often is. And that is the problem When we do this, we never come to know the truth of who they are or even who we are. The reason for the temple in the first place just becomes a marketplace is the perspective that it is intended somehow just to serve me. When we don't know who we are and operate out of that vacuum of truth, outrageous conspiracy theories suddenly become possible. Hasn't this been the case throughout the world between religions in all generations? Have we left legacies of destruction, division, hate, and dehumanization for centuries? You might say that we don't have these deep societal problems. Many deny it today. Here is a simple test. If we even use the word minority in our vocabulary, we haven't discovered the fraternal truth and fraternal duty we have toward each other as equals in God's sight. One of the greatest benefits of the several dialogues I've been involved in with Methodists and Lutherans, Buddhists and Hindus is the necessary discovery that I have inherited, directly or indirectly, a perspective that limits my getting to know others, at least at first. We try to gather as much knowledge as we can before we enter into an encounter with another person. In every case, I have discovered that this calculated perspective has been wrong. I was not informed with the complete truth because I had not yet entered dialogue with them themselves. It has involved some form of prejudice or prejudging that I may not have even intended. This is alive and well right here and everywhere where people from other cultures or countries are concerned. It is easier to ignore or deny their existence and needs than their existence and needs than to look deeper. One very painful memory of mine was a dialogue I participated in at St. Mark's Parish in Vienna, maybe about 10 years ago. I was on the stage with an imam and a rabbi, and we were discussing how each of our religions seeks peace. When it came my time for my turn to speak, and this is a true story, there were a lot, maybe a dozen Catholic men in the back row of the room who stood up and started shouting at me, "Your diocese is ashamed of you. This is the work of the devil," they said. To speak about seeking peace? Imagine the impression they left on the memory of the imam and the rabbi. Jesus stands before us today and gives us simple words. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." This temple, obviously, since we know what we know now, is his own body. But it is not just his body if we unite ourselves to his body. He will take all our chaos and misunderstanding, our inhumanity and division. And if we turn it over to him, he will transform it and also transform us into his glory. His words are so intimate for those who are really listening. He is real healing love, and he is the way we seek.